Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Right now, Dr. Siobhan Donovan, State Senator Siobhan Donovan, is with us, as she has been for the last several weeks on Mondays, to kind of look at the coronavirus numbers in Virginia and get a, you know, a frank assessment of where things are. And I'm looking, I guess this has been updated here. We're at 91,782 total cases, 2,218 deaths. Now that was as of August 1st. What do you think? Are we in trouble here, or we're just kind of coasting along?
I don't think we're in trouble. And no. I think while it's hard to drill down and look at the numbers, if you look at the numbers regionally, mm-hmm. they're still quite low, except for Hampton Roads. Mm-hmm. And I think that we have to be careful not to apply expectations and models of data that we have used necessarily historically to what we are looking for in the present tense. So just to be more specific, as we are more interactive, there will be more cases. We know that. Everybody's known that. We've said it lots of times. The key is, are we competently protecting the high-risk population, mm-hmm. and are we ensuring that we never exhaust hospital capacity? And if you track the numbers with the hospitals and on the HHA, there are, cases of COVID, but they are still low. We have adequate hospital capacity. The hospitals are back functioning with their other patients now as well. So I think that that's the hard thing about this data is I think people, it's so confusing, and you get one model in your head of, oh my gosh, we can have no increases in numbers. And when that changes, it's very scary. But you have to change your model to apply actively to the current circumstances. And we need to have the expectation that most of the population, the vast number of the population, will get this and not be very sick. And what we have to do is protect those who will be very sick.
Is it correct to say that it's a good thing for more people to get it and just push on through this? We've talked about the herd immunity concept before, and then I keep seeing stories that go back and forth about whether or not the immunity element of this is holding very long. I guess only time will tell whether, you know, next year we have another round of this with the same people or not. But what's your assessment at the moment?
Herd immunity is hard to achieve. A vastly high percentage of the population needs to have immunity to an organism before it means that people who don't have immunity are protected, which is essentially what herd immunity is. And so I would say the fact that it's not achieving herd immunity doesn't make it bad. The fact that people are getting it is not necessarily helping us achieve herd immunity, but it is the natural course of the virus to move through the population. So I would say it's not good nor bad necessarily. Herd immunity will be great if immunity does hold. There's so much mixed data that what I basically have to say is we need to wait and see, because we have a lot of immunologists looking at this now that are saying a lot of us already have immunity,
yeah.
and that we have protection from former coronaviruses and maybe even former SARS viruses. And that's why people are asymptomatic. In fact, the immunologists will tell you, I don't know if they're right or not, they will say an asymptomatic person cannot be contagious. And that idea that we have is false. And that asymptomatic people are people who, if you test them, the virus will be present, but they're not sick because their immunity is kicking in. But as they destroy the virus, small fragments of that virus can be measured and therefore confer a positive test. So the answer is we don't know. Mm-hmm. But the most important answer is we have to know there's so much that is will take time to figure out. We have to really, surgically focus on the things that matter and learn more about everything else. And right now, the things that matter are, what do the positive tests mean? And in most cases, it means people are interacting more and are going to maybe exchange the virus more and will have increased numbers. It means people do need to be cautious. It is prudent to wear a mask and wash your hands and be reasonable in this time, because what's really important is our economy opening and kids getting back into school. Going to the bar really isn't. I mean, I want that to help our economy, but if you're going to go out and do stuff, be responsible, because we don't want scares to shut down our economy.
Yeah, well, the economic reality of this is becoming clear. You can't drive down Broad Street out here in the West End and not see the real damage that's been done.
Yes.
Anybody who was teetering, they're gone now. And I think we're going to see a rapid increase in that unfortunate number, which will impact us for years to come. Yeah, my email box is full with parents who are very frustrated that school leaders seem to have decided to go virtual here rather than get the school systems open. And they're very worried. All right, you made the decision out of fear not to open schools fully this fall, but they're very worried that this will drag into next year. Is there any way to get ahead of that and do kind of a counter push to the folks who were so terrified that they're advocating that schools be closed, including the teachers who, I want to give them the benefit of a doubt, but it seems to have turned into a political labor union type issue, which is unfortunate. What's your assessment?
So my assessment is that when Henrico was polled, 91.7% of the teachers said they would be back at school in the fall when it opened.
Mm-hmm.
In further polling, they said they were worried, but they didn't say they wouldn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have to figure out, I keep saying this, and this is a great way to demonstrate an example of this. You have to figure out what your goal is and what the best facts are. And then you have to design your actions and your strategy to support the facts and achieve your goal. In this situation, the facts are that if you're under 50, the likelihood of getting sick from COVID virus is slim to none. Number two, kids are not vectors of transmission as we thought they were, so teachers are not at undue risk to be around children, especially if they use precautions.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, we have child care centers that have been open for 17 weeks with adults and children in the same location without social distancing, because many of these kids are small, and we have not had scary outbreaks at all. Number four, the risk of kids staying home, especially kids that can't afford other situations, and kids with IEPs, far outweighs the risk of being in school to either the child or the adults that are there. So the facts are that our goal should be to open the schools. Not everybody has to go. That's the beauty of this. It's in its infancy, but we have a virtual education option that is better than what they had last semester. So we are not saying every parent must send their child to school. But what we are saying is that parents who need school don't get to have it. So the choice is limited to one that we know is a dangerous choice for our children, and the evidence and the facts do not support that the danger to schools and teachers and children outweighs not opening.
Yeah.
So we need leadership here. We're not getting it. The governor should be saying, find a way to open schools safely, use all the best data out there, but do the right thing because there are a lot of kids that need this, and we are not seeing that leadership.
Again, has he called you at all? I mean, in anticipation of the special session in August, or just to kind of get your professional opinion as a physician on the front lines dealing with pregnant women and babies?
No, sir. I'm a collaborator. I'm a consensus builder. When I lay out a plan, I usually reach out and try and figure out what I don't know, because I know I don't know everything, and there's subject matter experts, not that I'm one. I just think different people have different styles of decision-making and leadership, but I have not been called, and I think I would probably be towards the bottom of the list to be called, because I'm fairly outspoken about what I think. But I have to tell you, I'm outspoken when my analysis supports my opinion. I don't throw opinions around easily. I will frequently tell you, I don't know, let me find out. But I've researched this, and the evidence is staggering that we are on the wrong path, and I have to speak up.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you've been taking pot shots at the governor. I think you've offered critique, at least in our conversations every week. It doesn't seem like it's been a political attack just to try to damage him, but more of an objective assessment. I mean, that's how I'm reading it.
Thank you. That's my style. I prefer to objectively assess. But in this situation, everybody should be worried. They should be putting pressure on the Department of Education and the governor to say, find a safe way to open schools.
State Senator and Dr. Siobhan Donovan, I appreciate the fact that you've come on, and we'll talk to you again. If you see anything that does flare up, you know, please shoot me a note. We'd love to have you back on the air. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. I really appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.